the longer the government shutdown drags on, the less the remaining air traffic controllers will tolerate going into work. It takes a lot of time and training to replace air traffic controllers, with the job sector already short-staffed before the shutdown. From WPFW and WBAI, I'm Noah Portner.
You're listening to a program previously aired on WPFW. While this is not a live broadcast, we're proud to bring you this encore presentation filled with the same insight, music, and voices you've come to expect. Stay tuned and enjoy.
I don't know how much more a body can hold before it forgets it was meant for living, and I think of that when someone says hope is naive. And I have questions, not the kind you answer, though, the kind that ruins small talk, kind you fold up, put in your pocket, and hope no one asks for. Like, how does a child learn his name if everyone who spoke it is gone? And how does a father choose which son to bury when the ground cannot take them all? And what happens to a yell that never makes it past the ceiling? And if hope is naive, then tell me what else is left for the ones who keep breathing? My love, the heart is the last unoccupied country. Every revolution begins there. I asked a girl, what do you dream of? And she says, a chair that waits for me, even when I'm late. And if heaven is real, then to meet my friend at the gate. And I remember the stories we carry. A mother teaching her child a lullaby she knows will outlive her. And a boy who carries pieces of his sibling in a bag, saying, he is not heavy, he is my brother. So when they ask where heaven was, I'll say in the march of the people. Because far from here, a shore is burning. And far from here, men dig with their wedding rings. And far from here, the hospital is torn. And time is measured in how long blood stays warm, but you want numbers though, huh? So did you know that the human body holds about 5 liters of blood, and it takes only one to keep a child alive? And did you know bones break more easily after too many nights without sleep? And did you know that the tongue heals faster than skin, so even the body knows that we have to speak? And did you know that the heart beats 100,000 times a day without once asking for permission? I don't know how much more a body can hold before it forgets it was meant for living. And I think of that when someone says hope is naive. My love, we don't need bridges, gardens, or cities. We need hope, and hope that feels hungry. So when the bridge is taken, remember the heart is the last unoccupied country.
That was Hanin, no last name, poet who recently read this poem at a massive, one of those massive demonstrations in Europe, for Gaza, of course. Today, we're featuring an hour as part of the All Day for Palestine programming that we're doing on WPFW, and this hour is under the name of One Day Everyone Will Have Always Been Against This, and this is the title of one of the best books written about this moment, this historic moment, by Egyptian-American writer Omar al-Aqad. Highly recommend that everybody read it. And obviously we're witnessing how people are pretending after 2 years, which marks to the day, because today is October 7th, if you missed it for some reason, that this is happening, what he predicted in his book, in his amazing book, which I have tabbed every page of it. I don't know why I wasted time tabbing, because it's just brilliant. And each piece, each paragraph, each chapter starts with some devastating, what I can only describe as a prose poem. And today we have several poets with us. We have Ghanwa Jawhari hailing from New York, and we have Sinan Antoun also, two dear friends of mine, amazing poets, incredible writers. And we're going to be reading some of our own poetry and some poetry that we love. I'll start with introducing Ghanwa Jawhari, whose book of poetry I've actually taught in class at when I was teaching creative writing at Georgetown University, titled Bint. You could find it on Radix Media, the same publisher that published my book, Is This How You Eat a Watermelon? Radix is spelled R-A-D-I-X. I recently read one of her poems at the WPFW fundraiser at a gala, and it was a big hit. And so with that, I'd like to welcome Renoua, because I know she has to work soon. Thank you for taking time, Renoua, and it's such a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me, Zain. I hope you can hear me. Is this okay?
Yeah, you're coming in very clear.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm really honored to be here and really happy to have been invited. And Zain is such a good friend of mine. I'm going to read a poem about Gaza that I actually wrote in 2021, which is, it speaks for itself. They had just finished bombing, and the poem was published in the Brooklyn Rail in December 2021, and it's called "I Translate the Names of Boys Killed in Gaza." And I will just get into it. In the city of poets, there is a boy with a stone. He is the guardian, lion-hearted and small. The stone half of his palm half of mine. The land scorched by naked sun, the blue of the sky lightens his eyes. In the city of poets, there is a boy with a stone. We call him Haidar, which means lion, which means brave. We call him Khadir, which means goodness. We call him Ahmed, which means commendable. We call him Rashad, which means good judgment. In the city of poets, the boy with a stone can visit his family in Al-Quds, which means Jerusalem. He picks oranges and lemons with his grandfather on an orchard as long as his small boy body can see. He fills a basket with vibrant fruit for his mother. He doesn't drop the stone. We call him Riyad, which means gardens. We call him Siraj, which means light. We call him Mazin, which means cloud. We call him Saad, which means happiness. We call him Basim, which means one who smiles. He is always smiling. On his shoulders, he holds his sister up to a branch she can't reach, and they both fall, laughing, to the soft red earth that's known them and fed them in every past life. He leads her back home where their mother bakes bread. He holds her hand. He doesn't drop the stone. We call him Mahdi, which means rightly guided. We call him Amir, which means prince. We call him Ala, which means nobility. We call him Sulaiman, which means man of peace. We call him Mustafa, which means chosen one. In the city of poets, there is a boy with a stone. At school, he memorizes verses from Darwish and Samih al-Qasim and Fadwa Tuqan. Midday outside, the sun overhead warms his small boy body, and he kicks a ball to other small boys like him. In each of their hands, there is a stone. We call him Hani, which means carefree and happy. We call him Tariq, which means morning star. We call him Salah, which means peace. We call him Bahat, which means brilliance. We call him Marwan, which means stone. In the city of poets, the boy sleeps in a bedroom with his brother. On the walls, there are posters of soccer players and musicians. His parents smoke and laugh downstairs with their neighbors. Outside, the only noises are from crickets. The carpet of stars above them lights the angles of his brother's face, his future face. Even in sleep, they don't drop the stone. We call him Salim, which means safe and secure. We call him Hazim, which means determined. We call him Omar, which means long-lived. We call him Khalid, which means endless and eternal. In the city of poets, a tank waits for him, an army behind, flanked by a police brigade, and glazed in impenetrable armor. Over his home, the deafening whine of an airstrike. The boy will wake on this day, his stone in hand, his hand clutched like a heart at the moment of flight, our guardian, and we will call him Shahid, which means martyr.
Thank you, Renoua. Just every time I hear this poem, it blows me away. And you said that it was published in December 2021?
Yes, yeah, it was. They bomb, as we know, they bomb Gaza.
Exactly. Yeah, and I want to stress that because, the thing that we had to fight in the last 2 years of genocide, of watching this genocide, is to tell people, to remind people, or to inform people that history did not start on October 7, 2023. Mm-hmm. This has been happening, the killing of boys and girls and men and women and civilians has started in 48, not in 2023. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Did you have anything else to share?
I had only planned to share
one. No problem.
I really appreciate the opportunity to share it. And I will tell you, I read this poem a lot. And actually, it recently was read at an event that I wasn't a part of. They just went around the room and each person read a line. And that was a really powerful, it was like a Jewish Voice for Peace thing. And I think it's just, we have to remember their names. So I hope our work can, you know, honor the martyrs in that way.
Absolutely. It's the best way to say we are not numbers. It's one of the best ways. That's why it always gets the response it does when it's read in public, as happened with the gala at WPFW, which our producer, by the way, recorded. And I need to send you that recording when I read
it. Yeah, that would be great.
And I know you have to go back to your dentistry, and the best dentist in the New York area. Also, I wanted to let Sinan, if he needs a dentist, if you need an anti-Zionist dentist, Sinan.
His name is close to Snan, Sinan.
Exactly. Yeah. That would be you have to look her up, Sinan. And we'll talk to you soon. We'll see you in New York soon, I hope.
Thanks so much for having me, Zion. This was lovely. Thank you.
Of course. And I wanted to introduce my friend, my dear friend. And I miss the days when I used to spend time with Sinan and Bassam Haddad. For those of you who might know Bassam as the senior editor in Jadali, and Sinan is part of that crew. But more importantly, just as importantly, he is also an incredible poem and a poet and a writer, and very much related to our hour. Also, of course, the premier translator, Mahmoud Darwish poetry. If you want to read Mahmoud Darwish, if you want to read some of the best translations, I would urge you to look up In the Presence of Absence by Sinan. If you haven't been introduced to Mahmoud Darwish, you're missing out on a lot. And if you've been introduced through other translations, please check out this translation. It's absolutely brilliant, and it sits here right behind me on my shelf. Welcome, Sinan.
Thank you. Thank you, Zain. It's so wonderful to hear your voice. And thank you for the invitation. I'm honored and delighted. And yes, I miss those days too, very much so. And I want to give a shout. Can you hear me clearly?
Very clearly.
I want to give a shout out to WPFW, because when I came to the United States in 1991 from Iraq after the war, you know, back then there was no internet, no satellite channels, so one felt very alienated. And then I came across this radio station where someone was speaking about Palestine. And back then, not many people said the word Palestine in English. And he was talking about my people. Then it turned out it was Edward Said. And I got hooked to WPFW when I lived in D.C. I listened to it all the time.
Oh, fantastic.
And thank you so much. I want to read... if there is time, read one poem by Mahmoud Darwish that I translated, and then one of my own poems.
Of course, there's plenty of time. One of our poets, also Kenny, has not shown up because he's engaged in some bargaining that he's doing, labor bargaining. Yes. I also wanted to tell you, Sinan, that even though I haven't, you know, we haven't seen each other for a while, for years maybe now, but you've got us, you and Bassam and Mu'in Rabbani and others, have have got us through the past 2 years with your whimsical responses to the fascism that is spreading through higher education, with the recordings that you did, these comical bits, making fun of the ignorance of the people that are running our Congress and running our institutes of higher education. And I just wanted to tell you that I share this with my students, and we have such those rare laughs in the middle of this horror.
So glad to hear that. I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, what can you do? I mean, sometimes satire is the only weapon available vis-a-vis the tragicomedy. Yes. So glad to hear that. I want to read one poem that by Mahmoud Darwish called Earth is Narrowing Around Us. And many of us, and I'm sure you have gone back to, although Darwish is not alive, but much of the poetry that he wrote in previous decades about Palestine and about what happened to the Palestinians resonate today, because the dynamics of genocide and settler colonialism were always there. So this one is called Earth is Narrowing Around Us. Earth is narrowing around us, forcing us into the last passage. So we take off our body parts to pass through. Earth is squeezing us. If only we were its wheat to die and live again. If only she were our mother to have mercy upon us. If only we were images of the rocks our dream will carry as mirrors. We saw the faces of those the last of us will kill in the final defense of our soul. We cried for their children's feast. We saw the faces of those who will throw our children out of the windows of this last space, mirrors our star will polish. Where do we go after the last borders? Where do birds fly after the last sky? Where do plants sleep after the last air? We will write our names in crimson mist. We will sever the anthem's hand. Our flesh will finish it. We will die here, here, in this last passage, here or here, our blood will plant its olive trees. And are you still there?
Sorry, I was muted. I said that the line that everybody quotes and is the title of many events is where do birds fly after the last sky. And you had also one of your by the way, I just wanted to ask you, are you still translating poetry of Darwish or other poets?
Yeah, I'm working on a huge anthology of Darwish, is in spanning his entire career, that will be published late next year, actually, in the UK, for sure. And I've been translating here and there, some of them published on Jadalia, actually, a lot of his poems. But yeah, I'm working on this huge anthology that represents, with selections from the early to the late. It will be finished next year, and hopefully will come out.
Wow. Have you come up with a title for it yet?
No.
I know that usually comes last, right?
Unfortunately, the publishers always have the last say when it comes to titles.
That's true. And do you find more of a reception in the UK than the US for Darwish's poetry and translations?
I mean, relatively, I think so, yeah. For various reasons. Right. And I want to stress something you said after Ghanwa read her poem, which is something that I say at the teachings and whenever, you know, this is the 17th war against Gaza. Wow. Even many of the activists and the people, well-meaning people, that the Gaza and its history is actually you know, crystallizes the entire suffering and the problem of settler colonialism, because it was the crucible of Palestinian nationalism. But it's unbelievable. This is the 17th war. Yet, of course, if you listen to mainstream media and watch, you would think this is just the first one. And, you know, you, Zane, would know, and some of the listeners would know about the long siege and the previous wars. So I'm going to read a poem that was written, you know, 15 years ago about Gaza, but it could have been written in the last 2 years if there is time. It's called After Words.
Yes.
And words, W-O-R-D-S. My father's warm palms shielded my ears. I could hear his blood racing in his veins, as if chased by the bombs falling outside. My mother's lips fluttered like a terrified butterfly. She was talking to God and asking him to protect us. That's what she did the last war. And he listened. Her arms were clasped around my two sisters. Maybe God could not hear her this time. The bombing was so loud. After our house in Jabalia was destroyed, we hid in the UNRWA school. But the bombs followed us there too and found us. Mother and father lied. We didn't stay together. I walked alone for hours. They lied. There are no angels, just people walking, many of them children. The teacher lied too. My wounds did not become anemones, like that poem we learned in school says. Sidhu didn't lie. Sidhu means grandfather in Arabic. He was there, just as he'd promised me before he died. He is here. I found him leaning on his cane, thinking of Jaffa. When he saw me, he spread his arms wide like an eagle, a tired eagle with a cane. We hugged. He kissed my eyes. Are we going back to Jaffa, Sidhu? We can't. Why? We are dead. So are we in heaven, Sidhu? We are in Palestine, Habibi. And Palestine is heaven and hell. What will we do now? We will wait. Wait for what? For the others to return.
Sinan, where can we find this poem? Is it already published?
Yeah, it was published on Words Without Borders in the first few months of the genocide, actually.
And it can be found online.
Yeah.
Just put and that. most of your poems can be found online. Your recent ones.
Yes. I also have a collection that was published. I mean, it was published right before the genocide, so I didn't publicize it a lot, but it's called Postcards from the Underworld.
Oh, about that.
Yeah. Published by Siegel and also distributed by Chicago University Press.
The timing of these publications sometimes is overshadowed by things like COVID and genocide.
Yeah.
And they kind of disappear.
Yes.
Yeah. I know a lot of writers that published right before COVID, and they're just now getting the word out. Thank you so much, Sinan, for sharing the poems of Mahmoud Darwish and your beautiful poetry. And I would ask people to check out more of Sinan's poems on Words Without Borders. And if you want to just Google Sinan, it's S-I-N-A-N, and last name is Antoon, A-N-T-O-O-N. Sinan, can you give the listeners a website or play or any link that they can also look up your works?
Yeah, it's just sinanantoon.com. And also on Jedaliyah, a lot of my translations and essays are all on Jedaliyah. But sinanantoon.com or Jedaliyah, Jadaliya.
Yeah. Excellent. I just got a message from the ex slam poet champion in DC, saying, "This is so incredibly moving and powerful. Thank you. Sinan is incredible."
Thank you. Thank you, Zane, for the opportunity and for your generosity. And it's always important to read, recite poetry and remember and remind our, you know, celebrate. Also, there's not much to celebrate, but celebrate the beauty that Palestinians and others, even now from Gaza. I mean, recently I've been translating poems that are being written under the bombs that hold on to life and to creativity.
Like dispatches from Gaza, from there's a lot that is coming out from there. It's incredible, both song and poetry that are coming out, because that's how we respond as Arabs. We respond to those moments with poetry. Yes.
I want to read, if you allow me, by a very short poem by Anis Ghanima, who's a poet from Gaza, who is in Gaza now, who's writing. I keep following.
And of course.
Keep writing. It's the very.
How do you spell his name, by the way?
A-N-E-E-S, and the last name Ghanima, G-H-A-N-I-M-A. And
We would love that, Sinan. Please.
Actually, two short poems if we have time, if your other poets.
We have plenty of time, yeah.
All right, so Kamil, who was probably going to top his senior class in high school this year, was killed 4 months after his family evacuated to Rafah. Later, his mother used the books he brought along to kindle the fire and bake bread. Whenever she tore a page, she remembered him. He used to love this class. He loved this subject, and so on. She would then bring out the loaf of bread, look long at it, and would cry. Her warm tears on that loaf are a declaration that this whole world has collapsed. His poems are untitled. The other one I want to read is short. 3 months into the war, they brought a group of martyrs to the mortuary freezer in a small hospital. One of them was a 7-year-old girl. It was the first time I saw "unknown" written on a shroud. Every day before I go to sleep, I invent a name for her and I read her a story. Every night, I see once again her closed eyes.
Mm. And how are you receiving these poems? How are you getting them?
I mean, the irony of this age we live in and this televised genocide is that a lot of them, because of solar panels, they have electricity and they have access to Facebook, so they post. I mean, people are posting their writings and their status as they are being displaced from the tent and moving and so on. So he posts on Facebook almost every day.
I've been even reading, last year I read a lot of Houthi poetry in Arabic that they were sending out. Which was really very powerful stuff too, very potent.
I mean, actually, I wanna another great poet who is in Gaza and a novelist. His name is Nasser Rabah, and his collection of poems came out early this year, I think, from City Lights.
Really?
Highly, yes. Uh-huh. It's called Gaza, the poem said its piece. It was translated by our friends Amiel Al-Kalai and Khalid Nasri. Khalid Al-Hilli and Amna Zghal. It's from City Lights, and the poems are very, very, very moving and powerful as well.
Yeah, please.
So... Um, Do we have time?
Of course, we have plenty of time.
Let me see. So this one is called "Ala man naqra al-waqt." To whom should we recite the time? The war left me only those who died to call friends. I bless night and light of votive candle, so they pass through me in a dream, like a scalpel or a cough. It left me no heart, as a window to hang on the wall of memories. No street, for when passion waves its kerchief and birds flee and songs groan because it didn't forget the coppery taste of bullets and the deep scent of parting in the heart. It didn't forget that a hand scattering love like a news vendor on morning doorsteps now collects their remains every night under the pillows. It arranges them in family libraries next to old wishes and stale kisses. To whom then should we recite the opening, Al-Fatiha? Whoever died, died, in their palm a basket of vegetables and the scent of fruit, and in their pocket a bus ticket and a new recipe for pizza. To whom then should we recite the time? For no one is left on the sidewalk of longing who didn't get on the bus but me and the morning rush, where war left us nothing but the distance between the florist and the cemetery.
Mm. Incredible. Incredible. Well, thank you, Sinan. That was amazing. And this is another one that you had translated from, like, just that's coming across on social media.
This one that I read?
Yeah.
No, this one
is the City Lights one.
This is City Lights, translated by Amiel Al-Kalai, Khalid Al-Hilli, and Amna Zghal. Nasser Rabah is a poet and a novelist who still lives in Gaza, and the book is out of from City Lights in their poet series. I highly recommend it.
It's what series?
They have this in the Pocket Poet series. And the title of the book is Gaza, the poem said it's peace, P-I-E-C-E.
Right. Okay.
Thank you so much, Zain. This is really, this is, I wouldn't have wanted to be anywhere else. And it's so good to hear your voice. Sorry we haven't, our paths haven't crossed recently when you were in town, I was out. But hopefully we will meet in person.
Absolutely. I go to New York all the time, Sinan. And next time I go, I'm definitely going to give you a heads up.
Okay. And thanks to you. And thanks again to WPFW. I know how hard it is for independent voices to stay alive. So I cherish WPFW and thank everyone who works there.
Of course, and as you know, as the billionaires are buying up all social media, this kind of, as they say, when they go high, we go low. So we're going to go low tech with the low tech stuff like radio is going to become more important.
Oh, I'm afraid that one day I would wake up and see that I've been bought by a billionaire and I don't own the body anymore.
like Van Jones.
Yes. Okay, Habibi, thank you so much.
Of course, thank you. Thank you, Sinan.
Keep doing what you do.
Thank you. Take care. Have a good day.
Bye-bye, you too.
And that was Sinan Antone reading some of his the translations he did of Mahmoud Darwish and other poets that are sending these dispatches from Gaza, and also poets that have been published by the great publisher, the iconic publisher, City Lights, on the West Coast in San Francisco, where I actually debuted my book. They gave me a venue there. City Lights is a true champion. A true champion of poets and writers that are writing about justice, and that's been happening since the 50s. Also, I wanted to share one of my poems, and then I wanted to turn it over to listen to some of the the poems that have been turned into song and recitals that we can share in the last bit of the show. And so I'm going to read the poem, and then we're going to hear Roger Waters reading Sumud, which means resilience. It means much more than resilience. There's no word, really, in English, one word in English that explains it, but he tries to explain it in his poem. But first, I wanted to read you a poem titled Streamers, that was actually that I wrote, that was selected for the 30th anniversary of Folio Journal by the great Palestinian-American poet Naomi Shihab Nye, who's one of the best known, if you want to look at the, one of the top five Arab-American poets, and especially Palestinian-American poets. Naomi Shihab Nye is among them. So she had selected it for that anniversary. She was the judge for that, for the contest to see which poems go into that 30th anniversary edition of Folio. And this is Streamers. Mahmoud the puppeteer is writing a novel about a young man living a peaceful and ordinary days in the city of his exile. In Mahmoud's tiny apartment hang posters of his homemade star puppet next to Alberto Vargas pinups, next to a marionette that sways on its strings with the Mediterranean breeze. He sits with me now at the hip barometer, dipping Armenian sausage slices in cherry sauce, chasing it with fattoush and arak. A puppet himself, he turns his head in right angle sweeps as he turns from one diner to another, says, look at all this. Our table crowded with Palestinians, Lebanese, and overlapping mezze plates. Tells me God, if there's a God, gave us sausage and tomatoes and fool and radishes and mint and bodies and bottoms and breasts and Facebook and bicycles, and we still find time to kill each other. His brother Hassan was a painter. The lone subject of his paintings was also named Hassan, and Hassan was everywhere, hovered in all his canvases, defied gravity, defied authority, slept on rooftops, his body a hammock between two antennas, floated off the subway as it arced over the Brooklyn Bridge, cycled everywhere, long lashes shut, through cities and above villages. But why, everyone who knew him would wonder, could he not defy the Mediterranean tide that took him as he took a leisurely dive on a vacation day? So should we write about intifadas, a father taken away for a decade, a brother down drowning at first dip in the Mediterranean? No, let us write about an ordinary young man motoring around Beirut, picking up a friend on Eid, and let's linger on the silly details, like the fly that lands on the cuff of a gas station attendant, or the type of cucumber the driver eats. Yes, let's write about waking up to another curfew day, looking out on the empty streets, and looking up to see a sky full of mocking kites, streamers wagging, strings tugging at delighted children that crowd Nablus's open windows. And this poem was written, was inspired by a story that my sister-in-law told me about her being in Nablus. And they had put basically they had a curfew, and everybody, all the Palestinians, had to be indoors, and it wasn't even sundown yet, but the curfew was earlier than that. And so she went in, and she was helping with defend homes from being demolished by Israel. And so that she was a volunteer coming here among many volunteers that came to do solidarity work with the Palestinians. It was called the ISM, the International Solidarity Movement. And what happened is that she took a little nap and woke up to a rustle outside her window. And when she looked out, she realized that there are kites flying out of the windows of these homes all around her from all the buildings. And she realized that the kids who were under curfew refused to be contained inside. And the only thing they could do is fly their kites out of the window, in essence, symbolically freeing themselves out of their confinement. And that's where that poem comes from. And that poem has taken on a different meaning as poetry changes with time, with history, especially when it's attached to the material world, tethered to the material world, I should say, in this case, because of course, the poetry that has been written, you know, with Alarir's poem about the kite that ends with the kite, "If I must die." And so that's why I wanted to read it on this occasion of the second year commemoration of the Gaza genocide. And with that, I wanted to go to Roger Waters reading Samud that he composed recently.
There is a word in Arabic, Samud. Steadfast perseverance. Particularly in resistance to the occupation of your homeland. I just want that thing. Voices join in harmony. And in that fleeting moment, when meaning coalesces there, all dark dissolving clouds the alleyways no more. Fresh bread, scent of home, pervades the air. No sandaled soles in dust of broken homes peep bloody from the common hem. And all the big parades in shock and awe and swagger on the carrier deck. In the face of what is fair, give me, oh yeah. Franco. fight. Come men and women, unafraid, to dash in lust their bracelets at the wall. When voices join in harmony, of age, and dogma, and witchcraft, and cant, and propaganda, and Palantir, Lockheed, Grumman, and Chevron, and Exxon, and Pfizer, and the oligarchs and mines.
Roger Waters singing Samud. Next, we're going to listen to Brian Eno reciting another poem. The great music producer, he recited this as Together for Palestine concert, the historic concert that happened at Wembley in London last month.
O rascal children of Gaza. You who constantly disturb me with your screams under my window. You who filled every morning with rush and chaos. You who broke my vase and stole the lonely flower on my balcony. As you want. And break all the vases. Steal all the flowers. Come back. Just come back.
That was Brian Eno reading Khaled Jumaa's poem titled Rascal Children of Gaza, which he read at all, Together for Palestine concert in Wembley in London. And we'll send you off with a recital by Suhair Hamad, the great Palestinian-American poet from Queens.
What I will not dance to your war drum. I will not lend my soul nor my bones to your war drum. I will not dance to that beating. I know that beat. It is lifeless. I know intimately that skin you are hitting. It was alive once, hunted, stolen, stretched. I will not dance to your drummed up war. I will not pop, spin, break for you. I will not hate for you or even hate you. I will not kill for you. Especially, I will not die for you. I will not mourn the dead with murder nor suicide. I will not side with you or dance to bombs because everyone is dancing. Everyone can be wrong. Life is a right, not collateral or casual. I will not forget where I come from. I will craft my own drum, gather my beloved near, and our chanting will be dancing, our humming will be drumming. I will not be played. I will not lend my name nor my rhythm to your beat. I will dance and resist, and dance and persist, and dance. This heartbeat is louder than death. Your war drum ain't louder than this breath. What's up, TED people? Let me hear you make some noise. A bunch of pacifists. Confused, aspiring pacifists.
For WPFW News in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Sue Goodwin. Here are some headlines. At least 8 Palestinians have been killed and 61 others injured in new Israeli attacks across the Gaza Strip, according to the enclave's health ministry. The killings continue despite crucial ceasefire talks underway in Egypt. U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff and Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, arrived in Sharm el-Sheikh today, along with Qatar's prime minister and Turkey's intelligence chief, for what is expected to be a key day, indicating whether progress can be made. A senior Hamas official told the BBC today that its delegation had submitted a list of the Palestinian prisoners it wanted Israel to release in exchange for the 48 hostages still held in Gaza, up to 20 of whom are still alive. Many uncertainties remain about other elements of the plan, including the disarmament of Hamas and the future governance of Gaza. Trump's plan stipulates that Hamas disarm and have no future role in governing Gaza. Prime Minister Netanyahu instructed Israel's negotiating team not to allow Hamas to deviate from Trump's proposal. In more news, the Department of Justice is moving forward with its case against James Comey. WPFW's Noah Portner has more.
Today, James Comey, former FBI director and critic of the president, was arraigned at a courthouse in Alexandria, Virginia. Comey pleaded not guilty to all charges, with the judge setting a trial date for January 5th. Comey is being charged with obstruction of justice and making false statements. This all revolves around testimony provided by Comey about President Trump. President Trump has recently pushed the Justice Department to accelerate its case against Comey, who probed connections between Trump's 2016 campaign and Russia, drawing the president's ire. The case against Comey has been criticized as weak and rushed. When Northern Virginia's top federal prosecutor hesitated to prosecute Comey, the White House had him resign and replaced him with a loyal aide. From WPFW, I'm Noah Portner.
And in more news, federal agents are on the ground in Chicago. 200 National Guard troops from Texas arrived in Illinois yesterday and are expected to be deployed today alongside 300 troops from the Illinois National Guard. U.S. Northern Command said the troops will be tasked with protecting federal workers and property and might temporarily detain individuals deemed an imminent safety threat. The deployment comes after Illinois and the city of Chicago sued the Trump administration earlier this week, calling the plans to move troops from other states, quote, illegal, dangerous, and unconstitutional, close quote. A hearing is scheduled for tomorrow. And across the country, Americans are experiencing flight delays because of the government shutdown. Here again is WPFW's Noah Portner.
Air traffic controllers, who are federal employees, are beginning to call in sick more frequently as the shutdown enters week two, leading to short staffing at airports from coast to coast. The vast majority of flights are still departing on time, but given the nature of airport logistics, these delays could easily snowball in the coming days. Even though they will likely be getting back pay, many air traffic controllers are unwilling to work for extended periods without pay. Some have had to take second jobs like Uber in order to pay their bills. The Federal Aviation Administration said that it had to slow air traffic into some airports for safety and blames the delays on a, quote, slight increase, end quote, in sick leave.